okay in and throughout the Monterey Bay area. 70 forecast is currently 65 degrees at the KSCO station. We have fog this evening. It's pretty thick. Lows into the 50s. Wednesday, we're just going out up into out into Monday. We're looking at mostly sunny skies, touching 80 throughout the day, and mostly cloudy at night. Lows into the 50s. For you boaters, no major advisory in effect this evening, and there's nothing for me to issue for tomorrow. And with that said, we got Wake the Bear coming up, a new show for us on our Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. I hope you enjoy the show.
Opinions expressed in the following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio with your hosts, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers.
Woo! All right.
All right.
Show one.
The bear's awoken.
Yes. Finally, it has become a reality here.
Welcome, everybody. This is Brandon Johnson here with Wake the Bear Radio and my co-hosts, Chris Hurst.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Ron Powers.
Hello, hello.
And we're just excited to be with you guys tonight. We've got a great show for you. This is our first show. We're really excited about this first show. And we wanted to tell you that we're going to be taking callers tonight at 8:30, starting at 8:30. So we hope that you will call in at 479-1080. And there's ways for you to support us, and we'll tell you more about that in a little bit, but we want to get right into our show. We've got a great topic tonight. Some of you guys are very, very interested in this topic. I know we are. The topic tonight is total recall.
Ooh.
Failure or fraud. And there's been a lot of evidence out there that there's some fraudulent votes going on out there. And we want to know, hey, was this a failure to do this, or was the message sent and was it heard by the people that are governing our state? And we care about our state. So that's the topic we're going to be talking about tonight. And we want to encourage you to call in. Call in at 479-1080. Call in at we'll take calls at 8:30. 8:30. Okay.
That sounds good. Well, let me tell you a little bit about what we're about. The issues that are on people's hearts and minds today, they're really hard to discuss. They create often a fear and emotional outbursts, which make it difficult to actually have a conversation about important things. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
There's a lot of triggering going about. Controversial subjects of public importance need to have a safe platform. And we want to provide a safe platform for really hot topics, things that have been difficult to talk about or might polarize people.
Yeah, so we're going to be doing that tonight. We're going to have a place where we call this a meritocracy of ideas, meaning you can have a bad idea and you're not a bad person.
Wow.
Novel concept, right? Because that's how we actually get to the truth, is that we debate and discuss and we honor each other and love each other through the difficult conversations.
Absolutely. You know, I think the art of conversation is really been harmed in the last several years, you know, where people don't, they can't have a dialogue of a disagreement and still be friends. You know, it's echo chambers only. So
yeah, we have actually told people, you know, oh, don't talk about politics, don't talk about religion, and guess what? We have a whole generation that doesn't know how to honorably talk about politics or religion. And so we want to talk about both of those types of things tonight. And I want to just actually briefly introduce both of my, I introduced them, but I want them to just share a bit about themselves. So Chris Hurst, why don't you share just a few moments about yourself?
Yeah, my name's Chris Hurst, and I've been a resident of Santa Cruz County since I was in high school, and that was a long time ago. I was born in a career military family, and so I have some values of courage and service. I'm cut out of a cloth that's a pioneer. My mother was in the American Red Cross during World War II, and my father was, he was flying those little P-38s, island hopping in the Pacific. So courage was part of what I grew up with, discipline and honor. And I graduated from UC Davis. I'm an ag major, and I returned to this area right after college and I started a small business. I was training horses and doing equestrian work. And then something occurred in my life where I had to shift careers, and I had 23 years as a public safety person running 911 paramedic calls as a municipal firefighter. So I have an experience in public safety and emergency management. I have my master's in emergency service administration. I have two sons, and they're married. I have four grandkids. One's in the womb, and I'm excited to be part of something that's going to shift the atmosphere here in Santa Cruz.
Wow, so good, Chris. And we love to call you the ambassador of hope. She's a mama bear ambassador of hope. And what I love about Chris, too, is that she is a intercessor. And she's probably on five different national calls a week with other intercessors, just shifting the atmosphere in the spirit. And so she not only fights fires, but she brings the fire of the spirit. So I'm glad to be on the show with you, Chris. How about you, Ron? Share your story a bit.
Yeah, I've been a local guy all my life here. Pretty much grew up in the South Bay from about first grade on, and then I've been living in Santa Cruz County for about the last 20 years. I took the engineering route, so I went technical. I went to San Jose State and then master's at Stanford, and then worked at all the local big tech firms over the hill, and it's done well. And, you know, I married to my high school sweetheart for over 30 years, and we have two children. They're both out of school now, and you know, out of college and things like that. Well, one's still going to medical school, but anyway, that's kind of what we've been doing. As far as church, I've always was really active over at the Calvary Community, which turned into Calvary Chapel, which has been in the news quite a bit this last year. Mm-hmm. And then several local ones here in Santa Cruz, and all good stuff. So it's good to have that fellowship. One more thing is I just love the water, so I'm always out there either surfing or kite surfing, so that's kind of an outlet for me.
If you haven't seen Ron kite surf, it's amazing. I bumped into him at the beach and go, oh my gosh, you actually do this? You are crazy. Yes, Ron is crazy. Well, together, I mean, the three of us here, I actually feel kind of outnumbered in accomplishments. You guys are pretty amazing people. It's just an awesome time to be with you guys and do the show. I grew up in Southern California, so I'm actually the newcomer to this area. But I've been in Santa Cruz County for 14 years, doing house churches, planting churches, leading the body of Christ in this area. It's been a super joy to be here. And, so that's what I've been doing. That's what I am doing. I used to actually be a lifeguard for the city of Newport Beach, so we have that in common, the EMT stuff.
Very cool.
Yeah, I still love doing that. That was one of the best jobs of my life, training junior lifeguards, running around on the beach, having them just do almost anything you tell them to. Put your tongue in the sand, and 25, you know, junior hires would do that. You know, it's pretty crazy.
I can picture you doing that.
But, you know, I'm actually, you know, one of the things I have a burden for is I actually feel like the body of Christ needs to wake up. So I'm kind of going back to the name of our Wake the Bear. I've been struggling a lot with, I want to lose friends. I want everybody to hit that like button for Brandon. And I've just been reading the scriptures lately, and Jesus actually says, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for such is how they treated the false prophets that came before. And I just felt like the Lord has just been challenging me to encourage the church to wake up, to encourage people that really believe the Bible, that are conservative, that believe the scriptures, to start actually speaking out when they see things of injustice that's going on. And I feel called to this Wake the Bear Radio because I want people to know they're not alone. I want people to not stay silent anymore. I feel like we've kind of almost like the beginning of Lord of the Rings, where it's like, the water has changed. I feel it in the air. I smell it. Like something shifted, and the Golden State went into the crapper.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, like, that's what I'm seeing all around me, is there's just the debauchery, the laws that are being made. Just no longer the people representing the state. It feels like the rulers have taken it over, and I feel like it's like someone needs to stand up and be that little kid who says, hey, the emperor has no clothes. He's naked. And everybody went, yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but I was too scared to say anything. And so I really want to just encourage people, Christian ministers, people that are Christians, people that are conservatives, that it's no longer time to be intimidated. It's no longer to care if people like you. They need to hear the truth. Now, I mean, we need to do it in love.
Absolutely.
We speak the truth in love, that's the biblical principle. We speak truth, but we speak it in love. And actually, if you don't speak the truth, it isn't really loving. I'm just telling people what they want to hear. The scripture actually says something like that. It says, you know, like, woe to the person that kisses you on the cheek, right? But a friend tells you what's really in your heart and what's really going on, right? The enemy multiplies kisses, but a true friend, you know.
Yeah, speaks, blows of a friend.
Wounds of a friend are to be trusted better than the many kisses of your enemies. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I have a heart for this. I really feel like we're supposed to wake the bear, meaning that, you know, California is, well, tell us, Chris, what's the bear mean in California? Tell us about wake the bear. You're a mama bear. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, I love this state. I love this county. I love the north central coast here. And when I've watched the downward slide of the government integrity that is no longer seeming to be present, the corruption, it startles me. And it's created some things that want to drive me into action. And so I know the answer is not, let's just wring our hands as though we can't do anything. I'm an activator by nature. You give me something that's a problem, my natural tendency is we need to figure this out. And Californians, we are smart people. Mm. We really have the answers within us. Mm. And when a government wants to tell us what to do, how to do, not often why, because why is often very confusing. Why are we supposed to do it that way? And they don't allow us as the people to give our input, to come up with some of the ideas and the solutions. It just doesn't seem right. And so what Wake the Bear is for me is it's primarily why I'm sitting in the seat is I want to leave a legacy. Mm. I want to leave the state better than I found it. And right now it is not there. It is in a place that is going down a slippery slope very, very quickly. And so everything about our society is being questioned right now. Family values, education, government power overstep, health care, what you get when you go to the hospital. Many of our basic freedoms are being infringed, and these things are infuriating and concerning, and there doesn't seem to be a place where we can come and dialogue and say, hey, I want to be a part of that. Even calling up the legislation is very difficult to get answers on how do we put input? How are we getting input? So this... For me, Waking the Bear is beginning to give some people, hey, there's somebody else out there that might be concerned. Hey, let's give some action steps, and let's see if we can get some people activated, because we need to walk in hope mm-hmm. and not just be critical.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah, you're definitely one to help us wake the bear. The California, the symbol of the bear on the flag is just, you know, it's basically that's our symbol. We're not a goat. I like this because we're not really partisan. We're not an elephant or a donkey. We're a bear. And so we really care about restoring the roar of that bear in California. It's time to restore the sanity to California. California schools, businesses, families, media, entertainment, all of these seem to be systematically corrupted by, I mean, godless communist ideology, Marxist leftist thought, and just that without input from the people. And I just, I'm really concerned about that. What about you, Ron? What's a Wake the Bear mean for you?
Wake the Bear for me, you know, we went through a lot of names just kind of trying to figure out what would be best. And the Wake the Bear was definitely the one. And it's a lot like the red pill, you know, and I know that's been used a lot, but it really is a red pill. It's like, you know, people are choosing to take that blue pill, and they're choosing to just go with what they're being told. And unfortunately, that doesn't always have truth in it at all.
Right.
But they're, that's what they're told on CNN and stuff. And so for me, for the last 25 years plus, I did a lot of reading on you know, global agendas, what's mm-hmm. happening, who's behind, you know, Bilderbergers, and, you know, you just name it, New World Order, all right. that stuff. Some people would call it conspiracy theories, and maybe some are as far as, you know, the level of how much is conspiracy and how much is being proven true. Today they say, you know, conspiracy is – the difference between truth and conspiracy is about 6 months, you know. And so
that's true.
We're seeing more and more. And so as we sell these last couple of years, I'm just going, wow, this stuff I read about like 15 years ago. I mean, I remember reading even about vaccines 20 years ago and saying, hey, it's going to come down. They're going to force you to do that. And mm-hmm. these particular people said it was Mark of the Beast and stuff, which, you know, I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but it definitely fits in that thing. And that was 20 years ago I read this little booklet. And so for me, Wake the Bear is like, hey, whatever's going on, it's happening fast and we need to wake up.
Yeah. I even some of my Christian friends will say things like, oh, you know, that's conspiracy theory. And I'm like, okay, you do realize that conspiracies are all over the Bible, right? Like, there was a conspiracy to kill Moses. There was a conspiracy to kill Jesus. The whole book of Esther is a conspiracy to wipe out the Jews. Like, in all of these stories, the conspiracy is exposed, and then the kingdom of God forcibly moves forward, and God wins. So, you know, I look at, like, even Psalm 2 says, why do the nations conspire? The kings of the earth take their stand against the Lord and against the Lord's anointed one.
Right.
Right. So the words used and the concepts all through the Bible. So really, I don't want to get so, like, be all about conspiracy. But when you say what is a conspiracy is when one person and another person get together and decide to do something that's wrong.
Right.
Or evil.
But, you know, it has a bad ring to it now,
right.
Because the CIA used it. They said they came up with that coin phrase, you
yeah.
know, conspiracy theory to disprove, you know, all the things about JFK and all this
yeah,
stuff.
You're a wacko. You know,
yeah.
Because you're, why? Because you're questioning the mainstream narrative. There's something wrong with you. See, that's all based in shame. It's the tie to silence the Christian voice and to shame us into silence. And I be honest, that's the thing that I'm done with. Like, when I found out that my wife or my people I love are going to have to take a vaccine or they can't function in society, okay, for me, that's Pearl Harbor. You just dropped the bombs on Pearl Harbor, and I'm now in the war, and I'm no longer going to sit back. So that's kind of where
sounds I sounds like next week.
I know, totally. So I want to wake people's courage. I want to wake people's voice. I want to wake the roar. I feel like Wake the Bear is a great name. What was the one you came up with, Chris? I think it was Uncommon Sense.
Yeah.
Yes, people don't know how to call bad bad and good good anymore. It seems to be a little confusing, so sense is not so common.
Well, give me just a few more moments. Give me what was the other names that we came up with? A couple ones that were on that we were looking at.
Oh, Blue Pill Antidote. goodness. There are so many of them. Now I can't remember.
Clarify the issues around the table. We really wanted,
yeah.
we were trying to visualize what do we want to do, and we wanted to have a round table talk about holding up the issues and simplifying them enough so that the confusion was taken out of them, take the charge of the emotions, so there was some emotional intelligence in them,
mm-hmm.
and to also distill down what is going on. So that was part of the desire to have a roundtable talk, kind of like to make it more analytical. Challenge the narrative was one of
that
them.
That was it.
Yeah.
Remember, actually, we actually started the podcast, and we decided to do a radio show because we weren't disciplined enough to do it every single week.
Yeah.
And all the weight for post-production fell on Ron. So I'm like, what if we do a radio show? And then we just have to show up and just start talking. And they're like, "That's a great idea." So we're gonna do. We're doing the radio show. But one of the quotes that we had was, "Question the narrative," because if everybody's thinking alike, then someone's not thinking. And that's what we're really trying to see is say is it feels like there's a lot of people out there that are too scared to say what they're thinking, and it's time for us to wake the bear of California to speak our minds, our hearts. We can help this. Like, this state is worth fighting for. And I really believe it.
You know, just about that narrative, too. You know, it wouldn't be so bad if there was a ton of ownership of different narratives, but it's narrowed down to six basic countries or companies.
Companies, right? Yeah. We were just talking about this before, that there are actually like it was in 1983. There were 50 independent media companies in 1983. There are now six mega corporations that control 90% of the information you see. And that's from an article that was published in 2013. So, and then that was even before Fox and Sports got sold, and a bunch more of Fox got sold to the mega corporations. So now it's probably like 95% of all of the media you get is being funneled through six mega corporations who, do you think maybe they have an agenda? They might have an idea.
Yeah, and that's why KSCO is an independent, and so that is one of the benefits of KSCO.
Yeah, listen and be heard, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So. Yeah, you're listening to KSCO, Wake the Bear, and you've got Chris Hurst, Ron Powers, and Brandon Johnson. We want you to think about calling in, too. We want the number is 479-10180, so it's 1080, 479-1080. And we want to hear what are some of your experiences about a recall election. Mm-hmm. Did you experience anything unusual at the polling places?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have an opinion about the recall? How was it done? What do you think the recall, the way it's landed with the no recall winning, how do you think that's going to affect schools, businesses, churches, life on the town?
Mm.
And if you don't think it's going to affect life on the town, just look at San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
They're already requiring the passport.
Mm-hmm.
The mandates are coming, and they are going to increase, and they will be coming to a theater near us.
Mm-hmm.
Very
soon. Well, you won't be going to a theater unless you get injected or to anything, basically, than the grocery store and church, you know.
Yeah.
So, and that is, that, I love what you said about that, Chris. What's the implications of this? Does Gavin Newsom now feel like he's empowered with to continue to just destroy the state, or is he stepping back and realizing, oh, I got the message. People are actually don't like what I did, especially with some of the stuff that happened, right?
What was one of the things I know, you know, with people that go to church, you know, that was a big thing. I mean, back in March 2020, there was no worship. You couldn't go to worship.
Wow.
So that was just like, boom, done. And then May, a month later, they allowed it to be 25% capacity, but no more than 100 people.
Wow.
You know. And then July, that same year, 2020, it was no worship over 90% of California. So
wow.
Only 10% were actually opening up. And by April 2021, the restrictions, even in home Bible studies, were lifted. But you couldn't have singing or chanting.
Well, gosh.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's like a story I hear straight out of Communist China, man. I read stories about what the restrictions are in the heart of Communist China.
Oh, home churches underground? It's kind of you'd have to go underground.
They literally have to mouth the words and not sing out loud because the communists would hear them.
Well, luckily, by April 2021, that mandate was – the limits were lifted, and so that was good. But by May 17th, 2021, they had the discriminatory restrictions on churches were permanently removed.
Why?
I don't know. Do you think it was because Gavin was really being kind to the churches?
No, it was because Gavin was sued by a church in Southern California, Cheyenne's Church, and they won. And they took it to the Supreme Court, and they won. And he was sued $1 million.
Yeah, 1.3.
1.3 million. And it's interesting to me. It's like if you listen to the media, you have no idea that happened. Because what's going on right now is fear and intimidation tactics. Those people in charge want to intimidate you into compliance, and that's what's going on a ton. And so we want to like embolden people to see what's going on. That there is a different agenda. If you don't see it, it's there. If you don't see it, you got to wake up. And we're trying to wake up the bear. And so some of the things that we really want to do, some of the real goals are to clarify the issues, to empower people and encourage them. And to activate people into action. That's really what we want to do. And then we want Wake the Bear still to also be a message of hope. Like, what does the scriptures teach on this? What does God want us to say about this? How does he want us to think about these things? You know, as a minister, that's important. I mean, I want to help people understand how to think, you know, with the Spirit of God. I mean, the Bible says they have the mind of Christ, those who are followers of Jesus. So I want people to be able to speak their mind. I want to help clarify, empower, encourage, and activate. We were talking about the word clarify. Remember how you had like a – I think you gave us the definition. It was so good, Chris. Why don't you
– Yeah, I mean, the verb to clarify means it's to restate simply or to throw light on, to make clear or easy to understand. To be free from confusion, ambiguity, and uncertainty. Mm. And, of course, for all of you lobster lovers, we know that clarifying butter, it's to clear by removing impurities by filtering or gently heating. I think we could heat up a few things and just see what bubbles off the surface and see what really remains. That which remains is the good stuff. And so we're taking confusion out of the issues and those things that begin to trigger people. We can't even have those conversations if our emotions go to 10 within about 5 seconds at the beginning of what should be a conversation, but ends up as two people talking past one another.
That's good. Yeah, so we want to clarify the issues. And let's clarify now. Let's move into our main topic for the night. We really want to clarify, what are the issues around the recall? Was it a failure? Was it a fraud? What are the implications? Why was there a recall? I mean, who wants to speak to that? Why? I mean, I just came back from Texas and I was reading an article and it said 18,000 companies re-headquartered in the last 5 years, and majority of them went to Texas because of the lack of restrictions on businesses.
Absolutely.
And while I was there, I found out Apple's considering moving there. They already have a huge organization. I drove past a bunch of buildings. Samsung, Tesla, all of these major corporations, the most innovative minds are leaving California to go to some other state because of the restrictive policies and practices that California's put on them. That's a big deal to me.
Yeah.
And the extremely high prices just to live here. You know, there's a separation between the haves and the have-nots. You know, the middle class has shrunken away. And so that is really getting worse. I mean, we have the worst homelessness in the 50 states. I mean, it's just – and we know just living in Santa Cruz. I mean, I work with the homeless.
Right. You work with the homeless on a weekly basis.
Yeah. I wash their clothes.
Tell us about that. Lolo. Tell us about Lolo for a second.
Lolo is loads of love. And basically, I go out with others and we wash clothes. I have a Ford van and a trailer. And in the van and trailer, they have 4 washing machines and 4 dryers. And they're also powered by solar batteries.
Wow.
And we just go right up to the encampment and we say, hey, do you need a clothes wash? And we just share the love of Jesus in a tangible way.
Wow.
You know, we listen to their story and we ask if they need prayer for anything. And believe me, they always say, hey, I need prayer.
How long have you been doing that, Ron?
Over 4 years.
So Ron's going out and he's you know, he knows the homeless situation because he's going out and he's ministering the love of Jesus to them by washing their clothes. Can you imagine if you were living on the streets and someone said, can I wash your clothes for you? And they handed them back to you folded and clean. I mean, what kind of love? I mean, Jesus said, wash each other's feet. That's Lolo's doing that exact thing in the modern context. I love that. Okay, so going back to the recall, Chris, what are the major reasons? Why do we have a recall, Chris?
Yeah, well, this recall has been going on for a long time. It took a while for us to actually get it to the voters. Gavin Newsom, this was number 6 attempt to recall, and perseverance paid off. So at least it gave the voters something to speak and to give their opinion about. And we know that the end of the vote was 67% said, no, we don't want to recall Gavin Newsom, and 33% said yes. Why it got off the ground was one-third of California restaurants were permanently closed in 2021. So tens of thousands of convicts, including violent criminals, were released on the streets.
From prisons?
Yeah.
From prisons.
Oh, gosh.
Not to mention they got a little EDD check to boot.
That's a recipe for high crime rate right there.
Yes, and then convicted murderers who were forced, won't lose their own capital let me restate that. Convicted murderers who forced victims to lose their lives won't lose their own. So capital punishment was revoked. Water has been released, wasted, and prohibited without building new dams. And then, of course, California wildfires. We know there is a problem with wildfire fuel management.
Big time. We were evacuated. I don't know about you. I was evacuated.
Yeah, so was I.
I mean, one of the things that's interesting about that is the churches in Santa Cruz County, most people don't know they exist. But when the fires happen, 9 of the evacuation sites were churches. Four of the five largest evacuation sites were churches. And because we couldn't use our building, because we were told we can't use our building, they became places where we were sanctuary for people running from the fires. It was pretty beautiful. I mean, it was pretty amazing. But the key here is that those fires did not have to happen. Those forests, we pay taxes to have those forests taken care of. And what happens is the government figures this. Well, if we just declare a national emergency, the federal government will just give us all this money, and then we can balance our budget, and people should just have insurance, and then just let it burn. Instead of actually going in there and getting rid of the duft, getting rid of the deep. I mean, the Indians did this. Native Americans would go in and they would actually burn the duft off so that it wouldn't cause fires in the next season.
Oh, yeah.
But in 2021, we seem to not be able to get a hold on that with the biggest budget. What's the budget size of California? It's like the fifth largest budget in the world compared to other countries even. It's like massive, and somehow we can't figure out how to stop a fire.
And yet our schools went from like number one to like the bottom now.
Oh, that's another whole issue. Don't get me started there. When my wife was a kid, the California schools were number one.
Yeah.
And now they're like 41, 43 in some estimates.
Yes.
Overall quality.
So it looks like money's not the answer.
Money is not the answer.
Yeah, I think the primary reason that pushed us as voters over the edge and got us signing that petition to get it on the ballot was the lockdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And that just went against so many of the values of freedom. The tyranny was obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And when we saw people suffering at every level, our children in schools, people who couldn't worship the way they needed to worship, people who where the gyms were shut down, there was so much that got an impetus for that recall. I would say that was the primary thing that sent it to the electors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably to add insult to injury. I remember Gavin Newsom was going to the French Laundry.
Oh my God!
You know,
the
no
most
one
expensive
else
restaurant in San what?
Yeah,
in San Francisco, or the French Laundry.
North, yeah, that. And it was just crazy because it's like you can't go, you can't eat here, and yet they did. You know, and his kids continued to go to school while public schools got shut down.
Pelosi's out getting her hair done when no one else can go get their hair done.
Yeah, which is his aunt by marriage, you know, through the Newsom family and stuff. So it's very interesting.
So kind of an elitist mentality if you think about it.
A bit, yes.
A bit.
You know, and I'm not saying it's a crime to have connections, but, you know, to me it looks like, you know, everybody talks about, hey, I don't want to have a professional, you know, a professional politician. You know, they're too powerful. They can fall into corruption. Yet they keep voting for them, you know. And it even surprised me with churches, you know. We had a chance with this recall, and yet I know for a fact there were a lot of churches that didn't mention go out and vote. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing controversial about that. Get your values to be heard.
Don't get me started again on
like,
that
wake
one.
Wake up, Christian. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, since 1965 when the Johnson Amendment was passed, it was basically a fear and intimidation tactic to stop the church from having a voice in political stuff. And I even have Christian friends that say things like, oh, you as a pastor, you shouldn't talk about politics. I'm like, what? That goes against the tradition of the last 2.5 centuries. The thunderous pulpits of the colonial times are the ones that actually founded the principles that established this nation. And yet we're not supposed to talk about freedom and how it plays out. I mean, we're basically not discipling that mountain of culture. I mean, right? I mean, Chris was like, what, seven mountains of culture? And we're going to turn over the government to Satan and say, well, we're not going to have anything to do with that. We'll just let the world have that. We'll just let Jezebel have that and not mind her handling it the way she wants to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and I think we're going to take some calls here. Do we have any calls?
No, we don't. So
right.
We can keep on
let's
talking.
Keep on talking. Hallelujah.
Well, yeah, let's just let people know where they can call again. So, again, this is KSCO, and it's 479-1080. 1080. So call in and let us know what you think about the election, any recall experiences that you had, if you're concerned about integrity or not. We want to hear what you have to say.
You know, I want to, if no one hasn't called yet, okay, I have a personal friend in this county, okay, who went to do the recall, and he thought, you know what, I don't want to do the mail-in ballot. He went to go, say, I want to do it personally, and they said, oh, you've already voted. And he's like, no, I haven't. It says, here, you've already voted.
Mm-hmm.
And This is a personal friend of mine. Okay, so I know, you know, I also saw like five different videos of people saying the same exact thing.
Yeah, I saw it in Southern California.
Yeah, I didn't see it on the mainstream media, of course. I had to go like on the alternative media to actually watch the video of someone testifying it, you know. But that concerns me that you, if the, all these mail-in ballots went out, we cannot track their you know, it makes it very difficult to track their chain of custody, and then you show up and decide you want to do it in person, like we've always done in this country, right?
Yes.
And you're told you've already voted. I'm like, dude, did they tell you who you voted for? Because they should probably tell you that. And you know,
it's totally. To me, it's very scary that you can vote. You can even, I mean, at one point it was said that you can imprint your own ballot and fill it out. And it's like, well, why won't you? Print 10, you know? Okay. I mean, what's to keep you from doing
you
that?
You do not have to be a conspiracy theorist to think that if that is available, that people might misuse it.
Oh, I think you better put that tinfoil hat on if you think people are going to be not honest. Of course they're honest.
Are you kidding me? Like, in the age of Survivor, we watch that.
Yeah.
people are not going to be honest when it comes around power. So do we have a call?
Yeah, it looks like we got a call. Now it's our first night with the board, so I'm going to try this, and we'll see what happens.
Come on, run.
Oh, no.
You can do it, dude.
Well, you figure that out. Let me just talk about some of the problems with the election integrity. Every voter gets a mail-in ballot, whether they're dead or alive. And you have 30 days to vote, so there's lots of time to go vote often, and there's no matching of signatures.
Whoa.
Non-U.S. citizens work in the Register of Voters offices.
Are you serious?
I am serious.
Okay, so go back to the one you just said. You don't have to match the signature. This blows me away. So they're going to push on every American citizen to have a vaccine passport, a vaccine ID, but you don't have to have an ID to vote. You don't have to actually show and prove you're a citizen. Does anybody see like the crazy logic of that?
Well, it doesn't seem that difficult to figure out that would be a good thing. Non-U.S. citizens verify and count votes. And then, of course, if you're not registered, you could just go in and register the same day you vote. Mm. So we know that there's some problems with the system. We would like to see it cleaned up. I'm part of the Election Integrity Project as an observer. And so we're able to go out. We've been trained, and that's one of the action steps in the Election Integrity Project is a citizen-based observing and training group that wants to see the elections full of their integrity.
That's great.
Awesome.
So
hey,
you've got a caller, don't
I've
you?
I've got a caller, so let's give it a shot. Let's see how this works here. Let's see. Okay, Mark is on the air with Wake the Bear.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, hi. Hi, guys. Hi. Good to hear all these different topics you guys are addressing. So I'm really encouraged by you guys being on the air tonight. So hopefully keep it up and keep doing it. I appreciate the topics on the election integrity. Kind of have a couple comments and a question. Comments on the election integrity. At the minimum, I think we'd all have to say there's a lot of shenanigans, as the word Jerry overused.
Yep.
Going on in the elections, and I know in our own family that my daughter lives on a street where her one of the election people to watch the observed elections and everybody else, probably a pretty conservative block, all of them did not get their ballots.
What?
No, they did not. And so they called up, followed up, and they couldn't find them. They looked all over San Jose, Watsonville. Come to find out, there's several blocks in Watsonville also did not get their election ballots. So she went in eventually and went in and hand did it. But there's a good chance that someone already voted for her and her husband. And when they put their election, they did that with those temporary ballots, what do they call it?
Provisional ballots.
So if they're lucky enough, they probably put their vote in it, which is probably canceled out by the person who probably turned in their ballot. And after seeing the thing in Los Angeles, you saw the whole thing in Los Angeles where the guy was passed out. I mean, it just adds, you know, fuel to the fire. It makes us not want to trust the elections, you know, election process. And I'd hope, let me back up. There's many other things. I remember a dog actually voted the previous election.
Wait, Ryan, you said that, I'm sorry, Mark, you said that there was it the gentleman that was passed out in the car with 300 ballots in his car and a gun and drugs? Is that you talking about that one?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. I heard about that.
Okay. Well, Mark, we've got more callers on, so I'm going to let you go.
He had a question.
You have a question? Go for it.
Okay. Yeah, so just a question for you guys. Do you know, I heard rumor was that the Dominion computer systems, which I've seen how they were used, misused in all these other states, is our state using Dominion systems also? Because it looked like I saw a video that showed our ballots and our election changed on the CNN report for California recall, where it went from like 2.2 million down to 1.8 instantly, kind of like what happened on the presidential election.
Yeah, that's good.
Did you hear about that at all?
Did you hear about that, Chris?
Well, I heard about the little switch on the air, but I don't know what the glitch was. I think they were saying there was an explanation, but in our county, Santa Cruz County, we do use Dominion voting machines.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
That's not good. Well, hey, thanks for calling, Mark. We appreciate your support. Thank you for just calling in tonight.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you. Let's see.
You got another one?
I think I have another one. But
while you're doing that, you know, I think that we need to ask our leaders, how committed are they to election integrity? Like on a scale of 1 to 10, and if it's not a 10, then it's not American. Okay, we the people, right? And how important is it for you that legal citizens vote? How important is it for you that an illegal vote does not cancel out a legal vote? I mean, those are the questions that need to be asked.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we have Aaron on the line. Aaron, good to hear from you.
Yes.
Yes, you have a question.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Hi, guys. Yeah, I just want to say I'm so excited about this show and just everything that you represent and that you want to encourage people and empower them to wake up and to speak up and to have courage. And we need that so badly right now in our state. So, just thank you for having courage and for speaking the truth. And then I just want to make a comment. So I spoke about the recall. I have two friends that live in Capitola that received duplicate ballots.
Wow.
For the recall. And so I feel like that's a little sketchy. But then I also have a question, well, two questions for Chris. One is, do you know if there's anything that's being done in the state to, like a forensic audit for the recall or anyone who's talking about that to challenge the results? And the other thing, too, is being on the Election Integrity Board, are there actionable or practical things, steps that you can just tell your audience about when they go in to vote, what the best way to do that is to mitigate fraud? Those are my questions.
Those are great questions.
Yes, thank you, Aaron. The Election Integrity Project is it's a citizen-funded organization, and it is right now gathering data through citizen incident statements so that anyone who has experienced something that seemed untoward or a little nefarious or out of order, or even if they weren't even sure, they were uncomfortable with their polling experience, they can go to the Election Integrity Project website.
What is it?
And that is eip-ca.com. Again, that's eip-ca.com. And there's a little, right at the front page, is a citizen incident statement that you can download, fill out, and send in by USPS. And so that is open to any citizen. With the poll workers that are part of the project, every incident that they observed, they fill out an incident report.
That's good.
So how the process comes, the election audit from within will not occur from within our government because there's not a perceived problem. So what will happen is Election Integrity Project is one of the groups that is gathering evidence and finding out if there has been some fraud. There's certainly they've already done a lawsuit for the 2020 election. And so there is a lawsuit right now that's pending. There's information on their website about that. So that would be a practical thing that people can join that, to go to that webpage and join that and become a poll watcher.
You know, yeah, that's really good. We need to see that happen. I mean, we need to give them the evidence. And like the last federal election, there was tons of evidence. What we're up against is, you know, obviously a media that's saying that there is no evidence. So we've got to do our part to show the evidence that is there.
Yep, and Arizona is leading the way. I mean, this Friday we have a forensic audit announcement, and we'll see what happens, see what they found.
I watched that on like in real time when they were doing that audit, and like
so
the presentation.
All those cameras.
That, all three of
In the middle of the night, had cameras.
I mean, there's like no way that what that information that's coming forth is false. Like they're fully auditing in 10 different cameras every different direction. It's amazing. So I'm looking forward to seeing what comes out of that in Maricopa.
Oh, me too. Because if that domino falls, you know everything else is going to fall on the other ones. Mm-hmm. People will be like, oh, it is. Okay, the narrative has changed. Yeah. It is possible that fraud could throw an election.
Right, and I just feel it blows my mind, because the reality is this. If our government officials don't care about election integrity, then we are in deep, deep doo-doo. Like, it is not. Like, this is we the people. This is the one way we use our voice. And if that's taken from us, what do we do then? Yeah. And so this is really important, and I think we need to get that information out.
Well, I think if there is one issue that you go wholeheartedly, it is going to be about election reform.
Yeah.
Because if we don't reform the election, we won't have a voice.
Yeah. Well, we will never have fair elections again, ever.
It has to be fixed now.
Yeah, we need to fix it now, or it will. And I'm of the mindset that maybe this has been going on for like 40 years or more in our country.
Could be, I don't know.
I hope it's exposed and fixed. So even if you disagree with me, your voice counts, your vote counts.
Absolutely, that's the most important. You know, if everybody votes against the way I vote,
that's okay.
As long as it's a real vote, because the rule of law is really important. I just want to thank Aaron for calling and encouraging us tonight. And you had great questions, so I appreciate that.
Do you have another one?
No, we don't, actually.
Well, I was going to say one last thing. You know, it doesn't inspire confidence. It doesn't inspire confidence in election integrity when all the major media sources tell you that it was the safest and most secure election ever. Oh. When we've all seen that there's evidence coming forth. When you're fact-checked on Facebook and all of the media, and you're told that everything's, you know, no, it's all safe and it's safe and fair. I mean, that's what's being told. And then you silence the other vote. That's the part that bugs me, is let the stuff bubble to the surface and let the American people use their brains to figure it out. They're smart. They're not. They may believe something that's not true for a while until you have a chance to debate it and discuss it and realize, oh, no, there actually is some fraud here. Oh, well, oh no. Instead of having it shut down by the media sources and saying, oh, no, safest, fairest election, you know, we know that that's got, you know. That's not okay. So,
you know, I would encourage listeners out there, whether you agree or not with what happened with the election, you should look into it, because there is evidence. I believe there is a ton of evidence. I mean, they've done canvassing after, mm-hmm. and they've shown that many people had their votes taken that way. They've done the packets, you know, electronically. They've showed how you can break into a Dominion machine. I mean, there's like six ways to Sunday how fraud can happen and has been recorded to have happened. Well, and you've got to at least spend a little time to look. Don't just take what's easy on CNN.
The narrative.
Yes, you got to question it. It doesn't mean you have to follow it. You just have to at least listen and question and then make an informed decision.
That's good.
Well, the cost is just too high. If there's election fraud, the cost is very high. And there has been, this is what's been reported so far, voters have been forced to vote provisionally. Voters with a long history of voting in every election were suddenly removed from voter rolls. And then poll workers who were needing answers during election day, the hotlines were unanswered. So there's been quite a bit of evidence that's been put forth thus far.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You know, this whole thing about waiting 30 days to finally count everything, it's 2021, we're the most advanced country in the world, and we can't get a vote done, count a vote in one day? Or we have 4 hours in the middle of the night that it stops? I mean, that just blows me up. Like,
oh.
I mean, was it Patrick Byrne, the guy who was the Overstock guy? He said there were like 3,006 counties in all of America, and there's only 6 swing states, and you would only have to cheat in 6 of those counties, and if you cheated in just those 6 counties, you could overturn the vote, and guess what? Those 6 counties stopped counting in the middle of the night.
Yeah, funny how that happened.
And he said he hired some of the world's best forensic auditors to show that this happened. And they actually studied the history of the movements of communism around the world. And he said not every time, but in almost every time that communism took over and they were cheating the votes, they stopped counting.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened.
The reason why they stopped counting was because they had to figure out how many votes they needed to actually win. And so they had to actually add. And so they had to stop counting to figure out how much they needed. Because they were just going to win by a little bit, right? You can't double the amount of people that voted, although they did go over.
See, and my contention is that this has probably been going on for a long, long time. And that's probably why the previous election in 2016, Hillary Clinton was so appalled that she lost, because they didn't think she would lose. Because they had a fix in, but it took them to 2020 to actually do it right in just the 6 counties to swing just those ones, because she won all of the amount, like in this 2016 she won the popular vote but lost the electoral college,
right?
So that means that likely, I'm saying means that my guess is they didn't funnel those votes to the right places.
So, Brandon, now that you've got my blood boiling, is there a message of hope and encouragement that you have?
So good.
Also,
so
you too,
good,
Chris?
Ron. Yeah. Chris, what does God think about all this, Chris? How are we, as God-fearing people filled with the Spirit, how are we supposed to think about this? What are we supposed to do?
Well, I don't think God's losing any sleep.
Amen.
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 Yeah, I think it's really important as Christ followers to understand that we are not people without hope, that he does expect us to stand for that which is liberty and righteous and justice. It says that the foundation of his throne is justice and righteousness. And so those are characteristics that he wants to see go forth. And he also says, the Bible says over 365 times, fear not.
Do not fear.
So there's something about fear. We don't want to partner with fear. And we know that we've got a God who cares for us. He's in the macro and he's in the micro. And so we can know without a shadow of a doubt, if we stop, pause, and lift our eyes up to heaven and say, God, we need you. I need you. I need you to settle my heart right now. He's going to do that. He always loves to answer that prayer. Matthew 6:25 says, for this reason I say to you, don't be worried about your life as to what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor for what your body will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? And he knows he wants to be the solution to our problems. He wants us to come to him and just release the anxiety. And he wants to give us answers that we can take and walk out in our society and culture what it looks like.
Yeah, that's really good.
So good.
I think we should just take a moment and pray. Should we do that right
Absolutely.
Now? Let's do that real quick. But 30 seconds. Father, we just come in the mighty name of Jesus, and we declare that why do the nations conspire? Why do the kings of the earth take their stand against the Lord and against the Lord's anointed? You say in your scriptures, Lord, that you laugh, that the Lord in heaven laughs at them because he knows he has power, that ultimately that you win. And so, Lord, we thank you that your kingdom is going forward and that you win. And we get to be a part of your kingdom going forward and in seeing you win. Yeah. We just bless the name of Jesus. Father, thank you that we can make a difference, that we're not hiding in our rooms scared. We're actually coming with courage, men and women with courage who have chests, like C.S. Lewis says. We're not just in our head, we're not just in our guts, but we're in our chest. And we have the courage to step forward and wake the bear. And so we thank you guys for joining us tonight on Wake the Bear Radio. We're going to be back here again next week and for many, many, many weeks ahead. And we're going to be talking about issues like this. What's our issue next week?
Vaccine mandates.
Yeah, vaccine mandates next week. It's going to be great.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Patrick Faust. House Tuesday passed legislation that would prevent a government shutdown and suspend the debt limit ahead of looming deadlines with only days to spare.
The bill passed on a party line vote of 220 to 211. It now heads to the Senate, where at least 10 Republicans would need to join with all the Democrats for passage. Nearly every Republican senator has said that they will oppose a debt limit suspension, arguing that Democrats should instead act on their own through the budget reconciliation process that can circumvent a filibuster and is being used for a $3.5 trillion social spending package. Democrats are nonetheless attaching the debt limit suspension through December 16th of 2022, a must-pass bill to avoid a government shutdown on October 1st in an attempt to pressure Republicans to drop their threats. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
The county coroner has confirmed that human remains found in remote northern Wyoming along the border of Grand Teton National Park are those of Gabby Petito. The 22-year-old disappeared while on a cross-country road trip with a boyfriend who is now being sought by authorities in Florida. Northport Police Department Commander Joe Fussell says multiple teams are deploying drones to search for Brian Laundrie in places that are difficult to access.
If they encounter flooded areas or terrain that they can't access with these wheeled vehicles, we'll deploy our drones directly out into the wooded areas.
The FBI said Tuesday that the coroner determined Petito was a homicide victim, but officials did not disclose the cause of death. President Biden has met with Australia's Prime Minister following last week's security announcement that angered France.
As part of a new alliance with Britain and the U.S., Australia canceled a multi-billion-dollar submarine deal with France. On the sidelines of the UN General Assembly, President Biden met with Australia's Scott Morrison. Both leaders spoke about their efforts in the Indo-Pacific region, but they ignored reporters' questions about the diplomatic blow-up with France.
White House correspondent Greg Cluxton. California is seeing lower coronavirus transmission than other U.S. states as virus cases and hospitalizations for COVID-19 decline following a summer surge. This is townhall.com.
Coast Paper and Supply has been family-owned and operated since 1948. They have a wide array of products available, including brand-name and eco-friendly cleaning supplies, paper goods, and compostable plates, cups, and cutlery. Whether your needs are for business or home, Coast Paper and Supply's friendly and reliable staff have what you're looking for. You can find them at 151 Josephine on River Street in Santa Cruz, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4:30, or call at 831-423-3350. Coast Paper and Supply is a proud member of Think Local First.
Do you need a professional roofing contractor? Look no further. When prompt service, quality workmanship, value, and integrity are important factors to your roofing project, Primo Roofing is the contractor of choice. Primo is a family-operated business, and they are determined to apply those family values to the way they handle each and every one of their roofing customers. No job is too big or too small. Whether it's a hole in the roof or a whole new roof, Primo Roofing is the only name you need to remember. Call Primo Roofing or visit their website. They'd be happy to provide you with a Primo Roofing experience.
Police in London have made a new appeal to trace the identity and killers of a young Nigerian boy exactly 20 years after his ritual murder.
Adam was thought to be 5 or 6 years old when he was murdered. Groundbreaking forensic work concluded he was born near Benin City in Nigeria and had only been living in the UK for a matter of weeks. Now, 20 years after Adam's body was found, detectives believe the loyalties of witnesses may have changed.
That's BBC correspondent Angus Crawford. A magnitude 5.8 earthquake caused damage in the city of Melbourne on Wednesday. In an unusually powerful tremor for Australia, the quake hit northeast of Australia's second most populous city near the town of Mansfield at a depth of 6 miles. Prime Minister Scott Morrison said there were no reports of serious injury. The earthquake was the largest to rattle Australia since a 6.6 earthquake in 2019. This is townhall.com. China's zero-tolerance strategy of trying to isolate every case and stop transmission of the coronavirus has kept the country where the virus first was detected in late 2019 allegedly free of the disease.
Because of this strategy, the public and businesses are paying a steep price. The government has renewed city lockdowns and travel controls in some areas to quash outbreaks that began in July. Most of China is open for travel, but tourists are reluctant to risk getting caught in a lockdown. That led to a slump in August consumer spending.
Correspondent Jeremy Else reporting. The parent companies, the Denver Broncos, are heading to court Wednesday to ask a Denver County District Judge to clear the decks for any potential sale of the franchise, which is valued at nearer $4 billion. The partnership wants Judge Shelley Gilman to rule that former owner Edgar Kaiser's estate no longer has the right of first refusal to any potential sale of the franchise. More of these stories at townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss.
Don't miss Good Morning Monterey Bay with Rosie and Alex.
Apparently, the female whale is suffering several health issues, including a low white blood cell count and gastrointestinal issues. Dear me, what happens when you have a whale that has gastrointestinal issues?
Yeah.
What happens there?
A load of something. Big load. I've seen what Abby can do. He's a tiny 42-pound dog. Just saying. Yeah. Maybe beluga in the deep blue sea.
Yeah. Wouldn't so be blue, high. Would it?
Yeah. Green under the gills.
Don't miss Good Morning Monterey Bay weekday.